James chapter 3, verse 1 to 12, taming the tongue. Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Our take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With the tongue, we praise our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water.
Manu, he always reads so well. All right. Welcome, and for anyone that's new or does not know me, I'm Cameron. I serve here as treasurer, and it's my privilege this morning to continue our series in the book of James. And as Chris mentioned, we're going to pick up in James chapter 3. So if you've not been around or may have missed one or two of those weeks, we've been looking at this book, which is towards the back of the Bible in the New Testament. Written by James, who was the brother of Jesus, probably written around 49 AD. It's actually a very short book that went out to a number of early churches, effectively written to challenge them about living out their faith with integrity. James, as mentioned, he was the younger brother of Jesus, and his style of writing in this letter is really straight up, straight to the point. He doesn't pull any punches. He doesn't hold back. His teaching is clear and practical, relevant for the day in which it was written, but equally so for us here today, some 2,000 years later. So in week one, we heard from Amy, who was visiting us and gave us a bit of an introduction. And her main theme or a big idea, was about being spiritually fit. So as opposed to our physical fitness, we might go to the gym, being spiritually fit is about exercising spiritual muscle, reading, praying, growing, doing all of the things as followers of Jesus. And the key verse was this in James chapter 1. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Week two, which was last week, we had Mark Falson And his big idea was about real faith in God is faith characterized by action. And so the key verse that I picked up to summarize week two was, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, we might be doing well. We may be starting the year with great resolutions of reading our Bibles, meeting with people, praying, starting a new ministry. You might say that perhaps you're already in reasonable spiritual fitness. And you might actually be living out your faith such that people will see things in your life characterized by actions. But today I'm going to challenge that to say that if we don't keep a tight rein on what comes out of our mouth, our witness to others of our faith actually is undermined. So what comes out of our mouth and the way in which we control our tongue is absolutely essential. And so that's what today's on about. I had great fun last night picking a few slides and pictures. And one of my kids said, "Oh, Dad, make sure there's lots of pictures. We don't like it when there's too many words." All right. Now, I'm going to start with a little bit of a... Actually, what I might do is pray first. Why don't I do that? Thank you, God, that today is a wonderful day. We are here together, assembled as your people here in this church. We thank you for the new year. We thank you, as we've already prayed, for relief from the fires and rain that has started to fall. But today we're looking at a tough topic. We're looking about taming the tongue, controlling what comes out of our mouth. And I pray, God, that first and foremost I apply this to myself. Unless I come before you humble, Lord, there's absolutely no possibility or way in which I can stand before others. So God, humble my heart, help me apply what is being shared this morning. Apply that to myself as we together look through that as a family. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, you're probably wondering what this table's all about. So what I'm going to do is ask any kids that would like to come out. There's rewards at stake. So if there are any competitive kids, now's your chance. Look, let me give you a little bit of a... Okay, so if there's some kids that would like to join in a little game, come forward. But as the kids come forward, a little bit of light entertainment for the adults. All right. Okay. All right, how many have we got? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Actually, I need one. Oh, good. I need even teams. So we've got 2, 4, 6. All right. So, Raha, do you want to team up with Hannah? Actually, come around this side so everyone can see what's going to happen. Here's your plate. And I'm going to put these over here. They're not going too far. All right. Manu, you can be on the end. Who do you want to team up with?
Caitlin and...
Oh, no, only one person.
Oh, Caitlin then.
Okay, Caitlin. Okay, so that means Hayley. Sorry, Alyssa. See, this is the problem. Too many kids, you can't forget their name. You can't remember their names. Okay, Hayley. Hannah, come around here next to Raha. And you come around here next to Alyssa. Okay. All right, you get each get a spoon. All right, good. And if it gets messy, you've got a serviette here as well.
I can't see.
Okay. All right. Now, what have I got in my box? Can everyone... I've got a toothbrush, I've got all sorts of things, but I've got lots and lots of tubes of... Okay, you all get to have one. All right. There you go. Okay, all right. Now, I'm going to need a pen because I just realised these have got little safety seals. Got one here somewhere. Got one. Now, when I say go,
I want you to squeeze all of the toothpaste out. Oh, that one's okay. That one's ready to go. Okay. Oh, that one's no good. Give you this one, eh? Okay. Okay. You got one? Perfect. All right. Show me yours, Hannah. Good stuff. There you go. You get ready. Oh, you're ready to go, Raha. Okay, on the count of three. Actually, I need someone to be a judge. Aaron, you come and see who wins. Can I check yours? Of course I can. We're all set. Now, the rule is you've got to squeeze that toothpaste out as fast as you can, and the first one to empty their toothpaste wins. All right, are you all ready to go? Work in teams, right? On the plate, squeeze it onto the plate, nowhere else. Yeah, the whole thing. Okay, after three. One, two, three, go. Okay, do we have a winner?
I think.
Which team won?
This one.
Oh, Manu. Okay. All right. Now, if you've got toothpaste on your hands, that's okay. That's what the serviettes are for.
Oh, I've got so
much. All right. Okay. But the second part of this exercise, you've got to listen carefully. All right, so this team won. So, Manu, you win. But now comes the fun part. Part two. You've got to put that toothpaste back in the tube. Okay. One, two, three, go. You can use the spoons. There you go. Put it back in the tube.
I don't know how to do that.
Just stay on.
Okay. Are we having a problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Who gives up? Who gives up? All right. Haley's, Alyssa's given up. Okay. All right. Never mind. What I want you to do now is just wipe your hands, and otherwise your mummies and your daddies won't be very happy with me. All right. Okay. Pop it down, Manu. All right. You ready, Raha? Just wipe your fingers. Hannah, you want to wipe yours? All right. You wipe yours.
Okay.
Now, because you are all such... What's that?
Dry toothpaste.
Oh, dear. Now, before you get your prize, I just need to ask you a couple more questions, okay? All right, here we go. Imagine that toothpaste had lots of yummy toothpaste inside, but imagine it was our words. What was easy about squeezing all the toothpaste out? Came everywhere. Did it come out fast or slow?
Fast.
It came out really fast. That's
it
right.
It was so hard for me.
Yeah, it was. Okay. But what was interesting is that it was easy to get out, but it was really hard to put back. Isn't that a little bit like our words? Sometimes we say things really quickly or we say things without thinking and suddenly, we've said the wrong thing, but can we put our words back in our mouth once we've said them?
Just a little bit.
A little bit?
Yeah, because I only got a little bit in there.
But if they were words and you spoke those words, they all blurted out, how are you going to put them back inside your body? You can't, can you?
You just guess.
Yeah. All right. You've been wonderful, kids, so you all get a prize. So you can pick something. Whatever you like. Quite ironic, you think. We've got toothpaste and we've got lollies. Yeah. All right, go grab a seat. Thank you so much.
And by the way, my Cindy's brother-in-law is a dentist. That's why we have all these little tubes. All right. So the point there is what comes out of our mouth, we need to control. Because once it's out, there's no putting it back. And as followers of Jesus, it really matters. And today is all about understanding why our words matter and how important it is to keep a tight rein over what we say. For many of you, you would have heard this as a child growing up. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. That's probably one of the worst things that that is actually not true. And I'll give you a little story of my own. When I was probably Aaron's age, maybe 10, I was at a public school growing up. I was learning to sing. I played a musical instrument. And I was getting a right royal ribbing. I was getting teased to the point that I wanted to give up my music. And I was saying all sorts of things to avoid all of the jeering and the ribbing and the teasing that I got. I would say, oh, I'm going to a dentist appointment, or I'm doing this, or I'm anything but tell them that I was going to have singing lessons. And I nearly gave it all away. But my parents thought better of it. And so I ended up changing schools and went to another school where music was more okay and acceptable. So I tell you that story because it did impact me. It's probably made me in some way the person that I am today, but at the same time, it's an indelible memory that I can't erase. Because at that time, it was tough, it was horrible, and for anyone that's ever been called, labelled, anything, you can carry those scars right throughout your life. So maybe a better definition is this. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names can also hurt me. Sticks and stones break only skin, while words are ghosts that haunt me. Pain from words has left its scar on mind and heart that's tender. Cuts and bruises now have healed. It's words that I remember. Yeah, makes you think, doesn't it? So today, as we look through James 3, this is going to come alive in the sense that there's really four key things that I'm going to draw out of the passage today. And so James, as we had our reading so beautifully from Manu, he begins by giving us a warning. In Jewish culture, and in many cultures today, being a teacher was a very time-honoured and revered profession. Teachers were respected. People looked up to them. But James first makes his point in verse 1 that teachers will be held to a higher account due to the responsibility and the influence that they have over others. So immediately that got me thinking as I was preparing. Oh goodness, I lead a small group. I'm a teacher. I'm conscious of that special role that I have in teaching others about Jesus. My words and my actions all need to line up. They need to be in alignment. If I'm to be teaching somebody about Jesus, I need to have my own house in order. How can I possibly teach others if my own life and my own faith don't match up? In verse 2, James then extends past teachers to include all of us. He says this, "We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." But a question for you, have you ever met such a person? Have you ever met anyone that is perfect, that always gets it right? No.
apart from Jesus himself, everyone else falls well short of the mark. And we know that quite clearly when Paul writes this to the Roman church. He says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And furthermore, we will all be judged, not just by our actions, but our words also. So our first point is this, coming out of those first couple of verses. We will all be accountable. We are accountable for our tongue. And here's where the rubber hits the road. If there's one thing that Jesus hated more than anything else, it was hypocrisy, which means saying one thing and doing the opposite. Here's what he had to say to the religious leaders of the day. A good tree produces only good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. You can tell what a tree is like by the fruit it produces. And he says this to the religious leaders, you are a bunch of evil snakes, so how can you say anything good? Your words show what is in your hearts. Good people bring good things out of their hearts, but evil people bring evil things out of their hearts. I promise you that on the day of judgment, everyone will have to account for every careless word they have spoken. On that day, they will be told that they are either innocent or guilty because of the things they have said. So this is quite a serious matter. We will all be held accountable for our tongue. Our second point that James gives us in verses 3 to the first part of 5 is this, recognizing the potential and power of our tongue. James wants us to know and understand just how powerful our tongue really is. He likens it to the bits we put in the mouth of a horse to control the horse. So if you're not sure what a bit is, it's this thing. See the horse's mouth, it has something that goes through in order for the rider that's on top to turn that horse to the right or to the left. So in the context of a horse race, that's a very important piece of equipment, and the rider controls the direction of that horse. But then James uses another example in verse 4. He says this. He likens the tongue to being able to control a ship with a little tiny rudder. So if you can imagine the size of this ship, it would probably go all the way up here to the edge, but that little thing in the end down the bottom is what gives that direction for the ship. Okay? So if that breaks, the ship's just going to float listlessly on the water. That's a very, very important piece of equipment. But it's not very big compared to the size of the ship. Here's another variety, you know, maybe from a wooden ship some centuries older. Okay? So again, that's the bottom of the ship, and that's the little wooden piece that moves left and right to steer the boat. So comparing our tongue to the power that we can exert over a horse or the way a rudder can control an enormous ship, that's a pretty big comparison to make. It tells us that the power and potential of our tongue requires careful handling. And we know this from the wisdom that we read out of some really good verses in the Psalms and Proverbs. Here's one. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. And then this one from Proverbs. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. Never say anything that isn't true. Have nothing to do with lies and misleading words. So the real problem that James is identifying is how the tongue is used, or more specifically, how the tongue is misused. Quite often. It makes great boasts, despite being such a tiny part of our body. But let's not forget, the tongue is not just about what we literally say. The tongue also refers to written communication and other forms of modern communication today. such as email, text messaging, social media. I only have to look at my two eldest kids, and they live, breathe on their devices. And so we do our best to limit the time that they spend on those devices, but they do spend a lot of time communicating. That didn't happen when I was growing up. We didn't have smartphones, we didn't have mobile phones. But this is the modern form of communication. So when we read James, we actually need to encompass what we say in our text messaging, in our social media posts, in our emails, all of those sorts of things. But is it really a new problem, controlling our tongue, or is it something that has existed for centuries? It's not a new problem. And have a listen to what David reflects in Psalm 12. In appealing to God, he says this: "Everyone lies to his neighbour. Their flattering lips speak with deception. May the Lord cut off all flattering lips and every boastful tongue." So that was a problem for King David and all of the people that were wanting to influence him as he was king. But then, if we want a really good example of words that inflame, that ignite, and have potential, as we've already seen in recent weeks, the rampant Twitter of some of our world leaders is very, very unhelpful. And we've seen, you know, the result of those sorts of inflammatory remarks. But then it happens in the workplace as well. Anyone that's spent any time in the workplace, emails are an absolute minefield when it comes to inflaming people and politicking. There are many, many ways that people manipulate with their words, tell half-truths or outright lies to peddle a position and to influence and to gain favourability in the eyes of the boss or the team or whatever. So it is everywhere. So while it happened in David's day, it's happening equally so, if not more so, today. But then there is the flip side. Words can also be used for good. So in Proverbs, we see the left and the right, the bad, but then balanced by the good. Thoughtless words can wound as deeply as any sword, but wisely spoken words can heal. And similarly, kind words bring life, but cruel words crush your spirit. But this one is beautiful. Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. You see, our words have enormous potential. Potential to either build up, to encourage, or the opposite, to rip people down, to tear down and to destroy. And just as we've learnt from the kids this morning, once that toothpaste came out of the tube, there was no putting it back. Once words have come out of our mouth, we can't put them back. Which brings us to the third point. So verses 5-8, the tongue cannot be controlled, humanly speaking. Let's have a look at these verses in detail. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole body and sets the whole course of one's life on fire and is itself set on fire by hell. We get the picture. And yes, James's language is extreme, but sadly, it's also very true. And given the recent bushfires that have devastated so many lives and property and wildlife in recent weeks and months, this analogy is all the more relevant and real to us. We get it. We all know just how powerless our firefighters were in their inability to control the fire's destructive force.
See, our tongue is like a raging fire, and despite being such a small part of our body, it sets the tone and course of our entire life. Untamed or uncontrolled, it will poison our life and the lives of others. The Apostle Paul wrote a really good letter to a church in Ephesus, and he really addresses this particular topic. So I've got a couple of verses here that just describe the way we approach and tackle the fact that our tongue needs controlling, and at times we get it wrong. He says this: "Therefore each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbour. For we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry." And then in verse 29, he goes on to say, "Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And the last point that James makes is this, in wrapping up the passage, verses 9 to 12, and that is that our tongue, our words, our communication, how we interact with people, it will either validate or discredit our faith. And he goes in this passage, and I won't go into the actual verse because we're out of time. But he makes the point that what comes out of our mouth is a paradox or a contradiction. At times, the things we say can be beautiful, loving, encouraging, kind, and considerate. And yet at other times, the exact opposite. Our words can be horrible, angry, spiteful, demeaning, jealous. And James says this: "Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing." My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And these two polar opposites are explained by the fact that first and foremost, we as human beings were created in God's image. We were made in His image, and we were created for relationship. Firstly with Himself, but also with others. But we broke that relationship because of our sin. Sin that every human being carries. But, and there's always a but, through Jesus, we can be forgiven. We can be restored in our relationship with God. And it's the Holy Spirit that purifies our heart from the moment we accept Jesus into our life. So if we are indeed claiming to follow Jesus, if I am indeed claiming to follow Jesus, I say this first to myself, I must strive to control my tongue and to be a person of integrity in every part of my life, not just on Sundays or when I meet with Christians. Every part of my life. So this includes not only what we say and the way we speak, but all kinds of communication, how we treat our family members, our friends, our work colleagues, our neighbours, even strangers we don't know. Because if we don't do this, we are not following in the way of Jesus, and we're forgetting who we are. We're forgetting what we are called to do, to be His witnesses. And any attempts of sharing our life and faith, They'll just be undermined. We won't be credible. In fact, people will start to move away from us because they see duplicity. They see hypocrisy in us. So what we say, how we say it, is equally as important as the faith we profess and the actions that come out of that faith. And just going back to that original point that we made, when we looked at that passage in Matthew, don't forget that we will all be held to account for our actions and our words. As Mark reminded us last week, if we are genuine in our faith, it's going to be obvious by what people see. Our actions are going to speak, hopefully, louder than our words. But the lesson that we add to that today is knowing the power of our tongue and how important it is that we control it. Because our faith and our witness depend on it. Shall we pray? Lord, as I stand here, I feel almost unworthy to have these things to say because I know in my heart of hearts I need to hear this for myself. I get it wrong. I say the wrong things and I put my foot in my mouth. And I regret it. And I know it's not right and it does not honour you and it is not following in the way of Jesus. So I pray first for myself, God, but then on behalf of everyone here, Lord, that we would recognise the power and potential that our tongue and our communication brings, and to be aware. And as we who profess to follow you, God, that we will be mindful, that we will take control and, Lord, not dishonour your name and not discredit ourselves or our faith or the faith of others. Help us, God, this week and this year ahead. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.